Genesis chapter 18. Now let's listen to God talking. Verse number 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Wow. It's almost like God saying, do I want to tell this man my business? Have you ever said that? Do I really want to tell this person my business? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. That's a spot to say amen. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Earlier in this chapter, God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. Nearly 100 years old, God said, you're going to have a child. His wife, nearly 90 years old, you're going to give birth to a child. She laughed. She didn't believe God. This wasn't normal. This wasn't natural. And yet God said it. And notice the rhetorical question that is asked in verse 14. Is anything too hard for God? You know why it's rhetorical? Because you don't have to answer it. It's an obvious answer. No. Aren't you glad there's nothing too hard for God? And then after this, God is contemplating, sharing with Abraham what he's going to do about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom is where Abraham's nephew Lot has chosen to live. It's a wicked place. It's a godless place. It's a perverted place. It's an immoral place. And yet there's a child of God that has chosen to lodge there, even though he doesn't belong. You know what this says to me? You can be as saved can be, and make choices that are outside the will of God. This is what Lot did. And God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's speaking out loud in Scripture as to whether or not he should share this information with Abraham. And then he answers his own question by describing why he should. Here it is. For I know him. For I know him. You remember I asked you a few moments ago, do you ever contemplate whether or not you should share this with this person? Or have you ever said something and the moment you said it, you said, I shouldn't have told that person. You know what you're saying? It's going to be all over the place. You know what you're saying? By the time news comes out, it's going to be nothing like it originally was. You ever played that game, telephone? And you start off by saying, Jesus is Lord of my life. And by the time the last person talks, they would say, cheese is bad for my wife. You know, it's just an example of how when something goes in an ear and out of the mouth, it often changes its content. But God said, not with Abraham. I want to tell you what I surmise the phrase, I know him to me. I can trust him. I can trust him. What a statement. Search the Bible for a greater statement or reference of an individual than this one. You know, God said of Job, hast thou considered my servant Job? You know, when you get recommended to the devil to get messed with by Almighty God, you must be doing something right. He fears me and he hates evil. And now he says in Genesis 18, I know him. I can trust Abraham. I can depend on Abraham. I can share information with Abraham. Watch this now. Abraham and I can work together on this issue, and I can know that he's going to do the right thing. Here's what I want to talk about for just a few moments this morning, because we're living in a godless society. And let's be honest, when it comes to men, men often get a bad rap, and sometimes it's justifiably so. It's sad today at how much our society showcases men of popularity that have no character. Men of fame that have no morals. Men with a bunch of money that have no values. Come on now. Men that look nice on the outside, but live horribly on the inside. Men of power and prestige. Men who can move the needle when it comes to influence. Men who are leaders with a huge following, but will never lead people the right way. Isn't that discouraging? It makes it hard to be a father. It makes it hard to be a parent. It makes it hard to be a pastor. It makes it hard to be a teacher, a youth director, or a leader, or a mentor, when you see these young people are looking and they're drooling and they're enamored by so many people out there that will lead them the wrong direction. Here's what I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to be an Abraham. Come on now. I want to encourage our men. I want to encourage our fathers. I want to encourage our dads. I want to encourage our young men to be a man. Listen to me. You may not be a man that makes a bunch of money. You may not be a man that drives a fancy car. You may not be a man that lives in a huge house. You may not be a man that's got the biggest muscle. You may not be a man that has the greatest job. You may not be a man that's on television. You may not be a man with a big Twitter feed or a big social media following. You may not be a man that ever rises to a political power. You may not be a man that people write about in history books. You may not be a man that ever gets up and speaks for some award on television. But I tell you what you can be, regardless of your money, regardless of your background, regardless of your past, you can choose to be and to become a man that God can trust. Amen. Three quick thoughts today. Men that God can trust. For I know him. Look at verse 19. He will command his children and his household after him. How can you be a man that God can trust? Number one, a solid family. A solid family. There's no such thing as a perfect dad or a perfect husband, but you ought to be sincere. Come on, determined to be a man with a solid family. I can't make all my children do what's right. I can't do right all the time because I'm flesh, but I can be a man that is going to have a solid family. How do I be a man with a solid family? It starts with genuine love. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more powerful than love. I said, there's nothing more powerful than, if we're not careful, men, we'll be so hardcore, we'll be so hard-hearted, we'll be so callous that we won't be loving like we need to. Listen to me, our children need to be loved. Our children need to see our spouses loved. They need to see us loving other people. Listen to me, sometimes we need to soften up a little bit and be a genuine loving man. I think we need to be a gentle listener, amen? Sometimes we know it all, we don't listen. Men that God can trust. Listen to our wives. Why? Because they're most of the time right. Don't nobody want to say it. You know why the men don't want to say amen? Because our wives are beside us. If I say amen, she'll say, you admit it, and she'll pull it up. She'll remind me every time you were sitting right in the house of God, and you said that I'm mostly right. Well, honey, I don't remember saying that. A gentle listener. It requires genuine love. Gentle listening. How about godly leadership? He will command his children and his household after him. You know, sad to say that most of our bad leaders are not just ones that are leading wrong, but some that won't lead at all. Sometimes you got to step up and make the decision. And sometimes you got to be the bad guy. And sometimes you got to be the one that says, we got to do this and we got to do what's right. Why? Because we owe it to Almighty God. Don't you want God to include you in his conversations? Don't you want God to let you know how he's thinking? Don't you want God to say, yeah, I can tell you, I can trust you, I can give it to you, I can let you in on it because I know you're going to be a man with a solid family. By the way, you also got to be a man with a strong faith. Strong faith, look, to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Hey, what is strong faith? Strong faith must be faith that has unwilling compromise. Listen to me. What does it take you to do wrong? What does it take for you to bend your principles? Listen to me. Sometimes our kids will want us to bend, but when you bend, they'll never let you get past it. You changed. You told me it was right and then you did wrong. You told me God was right and then you changed it. God, give us enough character, enough principles to say we got to do what's right. Listen to me. Doing right's not easy. Doing right's not convenient. Doing right, people don't always receive. But I'm going to tell you something. Doing right keeps you right with the one who's in control. We need God in our families. Do you realize our families are under attack? Do you realize our marriages are under attack? Do you realize the institution of the home is under attack? And many times we give the devil place by being willing to compromise. God, help us to be men of unwilling compromise, men of unwavering character. Character is not what people think about you. Character is what God knows about you. Character is doing right by habit. I teach our young men, you've got to make choices on purpose. Sustain those choices until they become habits. Habits that will become character, and your character that will secure your destiny. People say, I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing in 10 years. You got to do more than drawing up on a napkin while you're sitting at a restaurant and put the circles around and stop when you count so many places. This is what I'm going to be. You got to do more than going to a Chinese restaurant, look at your year and see what you're going to end up being. You can't be looking at astrology signs about what you're going to be. No. You're going to be in 10 years what you start being today. Listen to me. When you sustain something for 30 days, it will become a habit. It won't become a habit until you make a choice on purpose. Well, I'm not a morning person. Get up on purpose for 30 days. You'll turn into a morning person. Well, I'm not an on-time person. Come on time to church for a month. You'll be on time. Well, I just can't read my Bible regularly. Read it for 30 days. You'll start reading it regularly. You ever wonder why they tried to make a law to get Daniel to stop praying for 30 days? Because habits are formed in 30 days. You make a choice, sustain it for 30 days. It will become a habit. You start habits. Your habits will form your character, and your character will secure your destiny. You will be exactly where you're supposed to be in 10 years if you learn to live every single day by character. I know people who've got their 10-year plan written out, but they can't do right in 10 minutes. Men that God can trust have unwavering character. Amen. Unwilling compromise. Lastly, men that God can trust, a solid family, strong faith. And here's the last one, a successful future. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. What did he speak? Verse 18. Become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in. Wow. Did you hear that? That sounds to me like a prosperous status. It sounds to me like plenteous substance. But you know what else it sounds to me like? Proper stewardship. Can God trust you with stuff? Well, God, I've been praying for a long time for you to get me out of debt. Huh? Is that you? I've been praying a long time. You bless me with finance. Oh, God, would you open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing? I wonder if God's up in heaven saying, why should I give you more? You're not doing right what you have. I can bless him. I can give him a raise and know he'll still be faithful in his commitment to tithe. I can give him position, and I know he'll use it to influence people the right way. I can promote him. He won't forget where it came from. Have you ever seen somebody in charge forgot where they came from? You told them too, didn't you? That's why you yelled it out so loud, Zev. I don't even know where you are, but I can hear you. There you are. You ever seen people act like when they're in charge, they always were? I hate to bust your bubble. You were not born in charge. For years, I thought that about myself. I thought I just was born in charge. I just started telling people what to do from the moment I started living. By the grace of God, I had a mom and a dad who had to introduce me to reality. Maybe God can't give you success because you don't know what to do with it. Well, I'm going to pastor me a church one day. Really? Can God trust you? See, even the baby doesn't think that's a good idea for you. Can God trust you with people's livelihood? Have you ever prayed every night and watched for somebody's soul? Boy, it's easy to look at a man of God and say, if I were that, I'd do that. Have you ever watched for somebody? Read Hebrews chapter 13. The man of God is watching for your soul. You ever felt the weight, the pressure of watching for somebody's soul? For they must give an account. And then the scripture goes on to say, if the people that are in charge of you have to say that being in charge of you was not joyous, that's unprofitable for you. Well, when I'm a parent, have you ever faced the prospect of being responsible for a child's life? Livelihood? Security? Good night. I guarantee you the people in this world, the people in this room today who have job responsibilities that are huge, that are risky, that are of great gravity, would tell you none of them compare to the weight of being a parent. Can God bless you with a prosperous status? Can God give you more to manage? Can God give you a nicer car, a bigger house, more resources? My wife and I were talking the other day about the joys of owning a home. You know, when we were kids, we talk about, you know, you sit around I don't know if we went to Cracker Barrel when we were kids, didn't we? Where did we go? Hot Shops up the street. Some of y'all know about Hot Shops. Holly Farms. Steak in the Sack. Antoine, you know about all that stuff. And you sit down there and you draw out the little circle and you'd have to stop and count, you know, how many kids you're going to have and what kind of house you're going to live in. And then you drive around as kids and you point, so I'm going to live in a house like that. And I'm going to live in a house like that. And you draw pictures of your house. But nobody told you about paying for it. When on that paper did we ever draw a mortgage? Taxes. Huh? And how about maintenance? Who cutting the grass? And don't you know when something break in the house, they start talking to each other. When the washer break, the washer wish you to dry. You go ahead and break too, man. And the washer and dryer talk to the walls, say the refrigerator, ain't you tired? And the refrigerator say to the oven, you tired of getting hot, ain't you? Huh? And the oven reaches up to the vents and say, don't y'all blow out no cool air. Why? Because it's summertime. Let's make them Christian folks suffer. And Brother Ev says, yes, let them. Brother Zev says, let them suffer. Because I work in AC. I want to do work. Boy, a house can look beautiful, but somebody's got to keep it up. And don't let it flood. I used to hear people say, sump pump, sump pump, sump pump. I said, what in the world? I didn't even know what they were saying. Sump, 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 till I had a flood. Now, if I had another child, I'd name the child sump pump. You'll check on your sump pump when you have a flood, won't you? And you don't even think about it. I mean, what, you know, till it starts beeping, too late. Can God trust you with bigger stuff? Because he knows you'll walk with him enough to keep it up. God enlarge my coast spiritually. Bless me more. Do more for me, God. I will. If I can trust you. Oh, I want to be a man that God can trust. I'm glad that I was raised by a man that God could trust. What? Nobody's a perfect dad. Children, you'll never get a perfect dad. But you ought to want a dad that God can trust. And I was thinking about my dad this morning and thinking the same stuff I watched him do as a child, he's still doing now. Getting up in the morning praying, reading his Bible every day, walking with God, being a blessing to other people, disciplining himself, living by character, investing in the lives of other people, preaching Bible messages. You may not ever win a Grammy or an Emmy or be playing in the NBA playoffs, but you can be a man that God can trust. Make an impact on people. Hey, let's all do better. You say, Pastor, I've made mistakes. Pastor, I've done some things I regret. Hasn't everybody? But your past doesn't have to define you. you can determine by the grace of God, I'm going to be somebody that God can trust. Because God's got some stuff going on that I want to be included in. And if he did it for Abraham, by his grace, he can do it for me. Let's pray together. Father, we bless your name. I pray that you'll continue to help us. Heads bowed now, it's closed. No one.